Micah, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Eric.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about what Employee Rights does?
Employee Rights is an advocacy agency. We're not a law firm, but we are a first point of contact for individuals who can't afford an attorney or cannot afford to have legal representation when they face all kinds of discrimination in the workplace, whether it be sex, gender, sexual harassment, pregnancy, discrimination. So at an administrative level, we are able to do certain things up to a certain point that are not considered, legal practice of law, such as filing with the Equal Opportunity Commission, Department of Labor, unemployment hearings, those types of things. And if it does become a legal issue, then we will give them recommendations for local attorneys who will help them on a, fee basis or at least a reduced rate. So that's what we do.
All right. Now, you've been involved with numerous sexual harassment cases. What can you tell us about what's going on now? I mean, there's such an outrage over sexual harassment, but there seems to be such a difference in what people are calling sexual harassment.
I kind of take issue with that myself. I actually had to look online today to get a timeline of the sexual harassment allegations because, a lot of these people I never heard of. Obviously, we all heard of Donald Trump, but, Mario Batali was just a chef who was just allegations. Warren Moon. I mean, the list is endless. There's like 40 people here.
And by the way, this is an interesting subject. We apologize for the technical difficulties. But if you want to call in and join the discussion, you can dial in at 860-685-7700, 685-7700, 685-7700. The topic, and you probably can't get a hotter topic than this, can you, than sexual harassment. Okay, and we'll just continue. Go ahead.
Thank you. So, obviously the average reader, listener right now out there is hearing about these sexual harassment claims, has no idea who these individuals are. But the topic of sexual harassment is on pretty much the tongue of everybody lately on, and it's too extreme. I took a little issue with it when it started to become bigger than what it's supposed to be. Recently, it's now everything is sexual harassment. Everybody is crying foul for the smallest little things. And I don't think people realize that certain acts of harassment in the workplace don't qualify as sexual harassment.
Can I ask you a question about this? Because this is, we actually talked about it last week. Here's my concern, okay, and I've actually witnessed sexual harassment, by some creep who actually got fired for it, and I guess they never reported it. We hired it, the company I was at, and it was not pleasant to be around him. It was kind of crazy, and then he ended up getting fired, okay, and then he resurfaced at another company. But here's my question. Isn't it really kind of like he said, she said, like, can't it become weaponized? Meaning, if I want to take out Lopkin, right? Let's see, he's running for office, or I just don't like him, or we're vying for the same job. And if, let's see, in this case, I was a woman, or a man, I guess, yeah, really. Couldn't I just say, he groped me, he came on to me, he, whatever, you get the point. And who's to say? And my point is, in this environment, I would assume most companies would say, we want nothing to do with this. Lopkin, see you later.
And that's what's happening.
So that's what I'm saying. So this thing can become weaponized. And, I'm not giving any short shrift in terms of real sexual harassment. But I just think that it's such a slippery slope that essentially it can be weaponized in the political and in the corporate / workplace environment.
Well, not only weaponized, but let's just use like a young employee in a workplace who has an interest in a female coworker, and he asks her out on a date, and she makes some excuse that she's busy that night. So he continues thinking she's just busy that night and continues to send her a text message or an invite to the point where she now brings it to HR and says, this guy's harassing me and I feel like he's sexually harassing me. Now that young employee who just took an interest in another employee is facing the potential of a termination.
Yes, and that's why I'm thinking that isn't there a slippery slope with everything like that in terms of social mores, especially in today's world? I think you could probably get to a point where you can, and I don't think it's too far down the road, that you can just ask a woman for a date and that might suffice unto itself. Not legally, but then, yes. No, I'm saying, right, and she goes, this guy, I never, you know, don't have an interest in him. He asked me out on a date. Now I feel, and the big buzzword is uncomfortable nowadays. That's the thing. And then all of a sudden the red lights go off, correct, Dr. Lopkin?
Yes.
And I think Johnny, Freddie, or Bob is in trouble, correct? He might not get fired, but it's not going to go well.
It's not going to go well, or in some situations, the employer has such a duty to investigate and remedy that they have no other choice but to let that employee go to preserve their own liability.
Which brings me to my question, isn't there, you know, as a lawyer, isn't there something that's due process oriented for the person who seems to be targeted that way?
Well, what we're finding recently is we have a lot of individuals calling in saying, I was falsely accused of sexual harassment and fired. What can I do? And in certain circumstances, depending on the story, there is such a thing as called reverse sexual harassment.
Yeah, but here's – Marty has a great question. No question about it. No pun intended. But I'm thinking like this, as someone that came from corporate, that I'm thinking that they really are super ultra sensitive right now to anything to do with sexual harassment. I'm thinking even if someone called you, even just being in front of HR with this – it's not going to go well.
Well, it depends on company. Each company is different.
Let me ask you a real quick question. If someone asks someone for a date, okay, is that sexual harassment?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I'm just asking. I don't know. I really don't know. Okay, so at least that wouldn't be. But if that person, let's say, I like your scenario, got rejected and just didn't really know, maybe a little naive. And then what is there a breaking point that, you know, how many texts is harassment and what's not? In other words, someone says, no, I'm tired. I don't feel like going on a date. Then naturally most people would say, or many people would say, how about Wednesday? How about Thursday? Correct. When does it become harassing?
It doesn't necessarily become sexual harassment. I think that term sexual harassment is being thrown around a little bit too much. If you're not comfortable with somebody propositioning you for a date, or yes, you could bring it to HR, but I think that's where HR 101 comes into play, where the company says, well, we need to preserve our liability on both ends. Because if we take action and he didn't do it, we might potentially face liability.
So you can get sued. Let's say John, we'll just make a fictitious figure. John asked Mary for a date, whatever, and she just freaked out and he really didn't do anything where he just asked her for a date. And she goes to HR. And they're all so sensitive about this right now. He gets fired. Could he countersue?
Well, see, this is the interesting thing, because we all keep throwing this term sue and countersue and for sexual harassment. But actually, there is no law that actually uses the word sexual harassment, that it's illegal for sexual harassment. Title VII says it is illegal to discriminate because of race, age, sex, gender, disability, religion. Uh-huh. There's a bunch of them. So now you're saying, okay, now this becomes a harassment issue based on sex.
Yes.
So ultimately, if you're taking the word of the female over the male, you are then discriminating against the male,
okay,
because
yeah,
you automatically took the word of the female. So yeah, there's liability that can now, that male could say, I was discriminated against. I didn't do this. False accusations. I'm fired. They took her word. She's a female. I'm a male. I was treated differently.
Interesting. Now, before I throw out to the other guys, just one other question. So in terms of the whole scenario, if let's say John again says to Mary, and not in a whack job way, just says, gee, Mary, that's a really nice dress. Where'd you get it? Is that kind of a gray area? You look really nice in that dress, Mary.
And I was actually laughing about this earlier today with my niece. We were speaking about this. And I find it ironic that I can go into the workplace and say to Mary, geez, Mary, you look like crap today. Or your hair doesn't look nice, or your shoes are ugly, or I don't like what you're wearing. And it's okay for me to say that. But it's not okay for a male to turn around and say, geez, Mary, you look awfully nice today.
See, that's why I think that here's the problem, because, again, I really mean this. I actually witnessed authentic sexual harassment. I think it was creepy, and I was a young guy then, so, you know, it wasn't like I was stuck in my ways or whatever. And I thought it was really creepy. It was more than awkward. I felt sorry for the people involved, the victims, if you will. But now, doesn't it diminish real sexual harassment when essentially, Mary, your dress is, you look really nice in that dress? I think technically that's sexual harassment. You could get in trouble.
Again, I'm going to go back to that HR 101 because it is up to HR to keep to balance that seesaw. So if there is an issue between a male and a female employee, instead of taking that avenue of discharge, the avenue should be separation. Transfer this individual somewhere else or remove them from each other. And obviously, if there's another instance that happens, then obviously it's gotten to a new level now where you can then say, maybe we need to do a termination here. To be honest with you, the burden on the employer has become huge right now. How do we handle this?
Yes. We invite our listeners to call in 860-685-7700, 685-7700. Have you been the victim of sexual harassment or have you been falsely accused? 860-685-7700. And Dr. Lopkin, I'll throw it out to you first, then Marty. And it is a great subject, great show. By the way, you had some little, we double dribbled for a little bit, but now I think we're up and running. And before you ask a question, I would like, because it is our pledge drive. So Dr. Lopkin, can you tell our listeners, I think this show is an example of why people should donate to WESU, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Where else are you going to get the opportunity to talk to an expert like Micah, express your opinion on a subject, and, you know, have a discourse like this? It certainly doesn't happen on commercial radio.
No, it doesn't. So you may fire away, Dr. Lopkin, then Marty.
The term sexual harassment, we keep saying sexual harassment, it's been tossed around, but it's really lost all meaning. I was watching CBS News did a focus group, and one of the women in the focus group was legitimately sexually assaulted. Okay, so we're talking an actual rape victim. And then in that same group, you have a waitress who's complaining she's harassed because people ask her if she has a boyfriend. And when she says yes, they don't follow up. They don't. That was the end of it. How does diminishing harassment like that affect women who are actual victims?
Great question.
28 years I have been doing in the employment law field, and the examples I could give you of what a true sexual harassment claim is would astound you. So we got to go back to what the actual definition by law is of what sexual harassment is. And again, I already said to you, there's no word sexual harassment in the law.
Right.
It says harassment, and there's two forms of harassment. Quid pro quo, which means this for that. You know, an example would be demanding a sexual favor in exchange for a promotion or a raise.
Okay.
And then you have the hostile work environment claim. And a hostile work environment claim is that the environment became so hostile because somebody was repeatedly coming after them for a date or repeatedly making comments or touching or and the third element to really all of that is that it's unwelcome. So we get to that unwelcome stage, and you could claim all you want, I was sexually harassed, but did you say it's not welcomed? So, you know, the banter in the workplace is constant, back and forth. You're joking, you're making wise cracks, and, you know, somebody says something maybe of a sexual nature and you respond back, and they think it's okay to continue to speak like that.
Right. So there is a responsibility on the person who feels that they're being harassed to actually come out and say, no, I'm not comfortable with this.
Absolutely. And this is what angers me about what we're seeing in the news today, because in Connecticut, you have 180 days to file a sexual harassment complaint again with the Commission on Human Rights. Federally, you have 300 days to file with the EEOC. After that, your statute of limitations are gone.
You know something? I actually even have a problem with that. A year? Okay. Yeah, that's a
little. Right now, Russell Simmons is being investigated for claims that happened 20 years ago.
And there's nothing in the law that would allow him to be prosecuted for those claims. So they're using the media and the attention that's out there now on sexual harassment to harm that individual.
Exactly. And here's before Marty has a chance to ask a question. Here's Notre Sherman. Notre Dame Sherman is going to tell you something. The next, during elections, even maybe 2018 or 2020, this is going to be one of the tools in the tool belt that you can throw it out there, like Russell Simmons. I have no idea, you know, whatever. You could, if it goes back 20, it's getting press. It's impacted him. I mean, who's to say? You know, someone who's running for mayor. Yes, he sexually harassed me. He came out, and sometimes, because of the way I see it, it's such a gray area, it might have actually happened, but it's really not sexual. And once something's done, you can't really take it back, right, Micah? I mean, is that really kind of true?
Well, let's touch on that subject, because this did not become an issue until Donald Trump was running for president. Because if it was an issue, Charlie Sheen would have been all over the media.
Yeah.
No, what about Bill Clinton?
Nobody cared. Nobody
cared. So he was accused of rape. Nobody bothered saying anything.
So you think the open mic comment by Trump is the one that set this whole thing?
That set the stage, because if you look at the timeline, it began with Trump and the women coming forward and making the allegations and nothing being done.
Okay.
And now you have, I don't know how many, you're here, 40, 50 more in, you know, accusations since that.
On Trump? No, just people.
Against
people.
Others
the board.
Yeah. That have all stepped up. And now the individuals who did originally make these allegations about Trump were on the TV again last week saying, right, now that the media has blown this up, can we now address what Trump did to us? I personally think this all started as an attack on Trump.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, see, and
has transpired into what it is today.
One of the problems I really have with this is the three women that came back on TV that had accused Trump, one of them stated that Trump touched her while they were on an airplane. Now, when she first came out with this complaint, other passengers on the plane came forward and said it didn't happen. Her own sister came out and said, no, she's making it up. I was there. It didn't happen. But now she's back on TV, and all of a sudden, well, now we're giving her more, you know, more credibility than possibly she deserves, given all of the people that were there and said, no, she's making it up.
Interesting. Yeah. Mr. Yeah. Keenan?
I tell you, my head is spinning over here with all the things that we've been talking about, and I really do appreciate Micah being here to help clarify some of it, because it started out almost like a Chicken Little. Right? You know, harassment, harassment, harassment. What's going to stick, then what's not going to stick? And there was a lack of conversation. You know, I've been told, no, I'm not interested in going out on a date. Hey, end of story. So start with a conversation.
Can we arrest Marty right now?
You know,
the citizen's arrest.
I wasn't asking you, Jeffrey.
A citizen's arrest.
That's, you know, I'm very uncomfortable with this conversation.
Really, yeah. This is kind of freaking me out.
It seems like common sense has sort of been lost in the fray. But it almost seems now that it's systemic to the point where the federal government is almost giving people no opportunity to even go against that, because now the National Labor Relations Board is pulling back on a lot of things. We see the Interior Department is not moving on things. So it seems like a lot of the guidelines that had been in place have been removed, and now this dam has opened up.
I agree. You know, I think that's an excellent point, because when government gets involved, it takes away the entire human element. So we can't even have a discussion, you and I, you know, or let's make a fictitious, Jane and Fred, about, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were seeing someone or married or whatever. Now it's everything's like black and white. You it's almost like we're become almost, you have to be almost like a robot in the workplace. Hello, Jane, you had a good weekend. I hope you have a good week. See you later. You know, it's like, I mean, but that's what you pretty much like, you know, you got to cover your butt.
And I think it actually will diminish output. I think the kind of work relationships, you know, where you're able to have a banter, and I think that the kind of production you might actually see being
I think
minimized.
Marty has another great point, because, no, part of building a team is yucking it up. Hey, Lopkin, you know,
yes.
Well, you know, what the heck? You know, you couldn't score a basket last week. You really suck. You know, whatever. Now, you know, you just, hey, Jane, you know, can't believe you tried, you know, dancing. You slipped. You look like a klutz. You know, just kidding around. Right? I mean, you take all, like Marty said, all the banter. It's all like, Jane, we need to put the PowerPoint together
what
now.
What about employment opportunities? Are we going to have female-oriented businesses reluctant to hire men and vice versa, even because the skill level is there, but you don't want to put yourself in a position down the road, yet this person might have been suitable for the job?
Or I actually even a better – Michael, I'd like you to comment on this. How about scenarios where maybe women – maybe this will negatively impact women's opportunities, because I'm not going to dinner with you – a business dinner, not a romantic, because I don't want to put myself in the position of being falsely accused. Like if we go out to, I don't know, Outback restaurant to actually really talk, and I don't know, maybe, I don't know, a month later you kind of started not liking me. I'm not talking romantically. I'm talking you just because I was not good at work, whatever, for whatever reason. Then you could say, yeah, we were out at Outback. Again, no witnesses. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get the questions. Hey, Jeff, you know, Fred, whatever, why'd you take Jane out to Outback? You know, that's, you know, what are you doing? That's out of bounds. You know, that's, am I correct or not? I think it's going to, you know, you feel more, I would feel a lot more comfortable taking, going out with another fellow guy and just BSing.
Everything you're saying is accurate in possibility. Ultimately, though, what's going to end up happening is that at some point in time, the federal government does step in because cases are going to be tried and judges are going to be heard on their decision making. One of the aspects that everybody is missing is that the biggest component of winning a sexual harassment claim is to demonstrate that the behavior was outrageous, that a natural, that the individuals of society would hear these facts and the first thing that they would say is, that is outrageous. Most of the claims that we're hearing about now that took place 20, 30 years ago, they weren't outrageous back then.
Yeah, but
they might be outrageous.
But how do you define
now?
Outrageous? And here's the thing: I think, like everything else, you know, when you have a vacuum, things move in. Now, I think opportunistic legislators and judicial people are going to start really having draconian rules and regulations in terms of, so there is no gray area. Like, you can't say this, you can't do that. Then, you know, the other thing is, this whole thing to me is so gray anyway, because you're dealing with not, you know, a mathematical equation. What makes someone uncomfortable and another one not uncomfortable could be obviously completely different.
You know, there are other forms of harassment in the workplace, but looking at harassment in general, without even using the word sex or sexual harassment in there, we have to look at, you know, what is considered harassment.
Right. There was recently a survey of the Interior Department, the employees there. They've been having an issue, particularly within the national parks, where there's been a lot of quote-unquote harassment. And 70,000 people actually responded to the survey. 8% of that was sexual harassment. 20% was age-based, and 16% was based on gender. And so, as you're saying, there's a wide variety of harassment. It just seems as though we're focusing on, quote unquote, sexual harassment, yet a majority of harassment is based around other things.
Correct. And in the courts, you know, they pretty much say, case law suggests, we're not here to babysit in the workplace. There are always going to be interpersonal conflicts. So 90% of what people call me about for being harassed in the workplace, I have to say that I'm really sorry, but there's no law that protects you from quote-unquote harassment per se.
Now, the fact that unions have somewhat disappeared, is that opening up the door a little bit more because they really don't have protection in the workplace?
The unions never protected an individual from harassment to begin with.
Okay.
Huh. Interesting. Dr. Lopkin. Oh, yeah. By the way, we want to invite our listeners to call in. It is, for me, it's a fascinating subject. 860-685-7700, 685-7700. The subject is sexual harassment because, my God, I think that they're falling like dominoes out there. I mean, it's a daily occurrence. I've never seen anything like it.
They're falling like dominoes, but that actually gives some kind of question of, well, it must have really happened if they're resigning just on allegations. Because, like I said before, there's no avenue for that individual to bring this as a claim against them. So it's accusations, and if there's no truth to them, then those individuals are not going to step down. But if there are truth and they know that, you know, there's enough individuals to support those allegations, credibility or whatever, reputation, they remove themselves. So I think that we can't look too deeply into the, it's all, you know, just accusations, and because otherwise these individuals wouldn't be stepping down.
Or the fact that the environment is so toxic and, you know, they don't feel as though they're going to get a fair hearing. So it's better just to walk away and hold on to whatever credibility they have.
That might be a good point, too, that it's such a crazy environment now that it's
like
a circus.
Scarlet letter.
Well, the one thing that made me laugh is when I was looking through this, I think it was the producer of the show Mad Men.
Yeah, Matthew Weiner.
Had got these allegations of sexual harassment, but if you've ever watched the show Mad Men,
that's basically what it is.
Yes,
that's where we were 20 years ago.
Yeah, at least
30 years ago, sure. 40 years ago. That's not where we are today.
Right.
So you're not seeing new allegations. Well, not a lot of new allegations coming out in today's age. These are all allegations that happened 20, 30 years ago, where it was more acceptable or not as, you know, heightened. Sexual harassment occurred a lot in the workplace back then.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's why Title VII got stronger. EEOC stepped in.
But I agree with Lopkin's point. I really do, because I think it. You know, now we're getting to almost, it's almost becoming frivolous in terms of, you know, some of the, you know, he said, gee, your dress looks nice, or ask me on a date, whatever. And I think Lopkin's point is excellent, because I think as if I was a woman, I'd almost be insulted if I was the real victim of
I'm actually outraged, that word outraged. I'm outraged that the outrage has been removed from sexual harassment. Because if you saw the cases that I have worked on and what really constitutes sexual harassment, 90% of these allegations that are coming out now are nothing compared to what I've seen.
And that's what concerns me the most, and you kind of nailed it, is, you know, you now it's gone from, you know, horrible situations. You know, people should never be exposed to something like that. And now the pendulum might be going, and the pendulum was the other way then, so almost kind of allowing it or condoning it. And, you know, Lopkin brings up ex-President Clinton. I was, you know, there, or not there, I mean, you know, watching. I was like, you know, whatever, boys will be boys. The environment's completely different now, and I'm just wondering if we're not hypersensitive to it now. And people, instead of like being victims or whatever, now people are proactively almost have their antennas up for it. Well, are we creating that kind of environment that, you know, instead of being, you know, a passive victim, now you're actually kind of almost, you got the antennas up?
I think the media is trying to make that, you know, make that perception. But those that I speak to on a daily basis, and we speak about this topic, they're just as outraged as I am that it's been brought to the level that it is today, because it takes away from the severity of what really sexual harassment is.
Right, and it'd be interesting to see if we could get different lawyers representing, because when you continually put out a Gloria Allred,
sorry. That's like nails on a chalkboard.
It's sensationalism.
She is the biggest opportunistic.
Right. So if they were able to bring out another lawyer and bring it out to the point where Micah just said, where, you know, you're saying, okay, this is the law and here's the language and this is what happened, versus, oh, he said, she said, I'm Gloria Allred, and because I'm here, it must be true.
Well, and now you're seeing it become even more convoluted. One of the lawyers who is representing one of Harvey Weinstein's victims was now accused of sexual harassment.
Oh, come on.
I'm not even kidding. So he's, you know, defending this woman, and yet he was accused of sexual harassment also. And, you know, I liked what Micah said about, you know, if you're resigning, then we have to assume something's wrong. Al Franken's resignation speech aggravated me to no end.
Well, he never really admitted anything.
Well, no, he not only didn't he admit it, he denied it. Basically, what he said was, I didn't do anything, I'm resigning, but it's not fair that I have to resign because other people aren't resigning.
Exactly, yes, correct.
It's like, if you didn't do it, stick to your guns and defend yourself.
But doesn't it bring
it
back?
If you did it, resign.
No, but doesn't it? I think he did it, but let's assume he didn't, Michael. Let's assume he didn't. Maybe he just saw the writing on the wall that things are so supercharged out there on this issue that he didn't stand a fighting chance. I think he did it, by the way, but I'm saying, let's assume he didn't. Could that mentality now be coming into the fold? It's just easier just to be done with it, resign, make a speech like he did. I really didn't do it, but I'm not going to go through this.
Well, let me ask you this. When a woman is really sexually harassed and the allegations are true, and she comes forward, she should come forward, and she should fight.
Yes.
For that wrong.
100%, yes.
And those who are walking away, who are claiming they didn't do it, are wrong for walking away.
Right.
Because you think this is someone should accuse when they're actually the victims. You're saying if you're not, if you're innocent, you should stand up for yourself.
Stand up for yourself.
And it's almost like they're weaponizing the defense, because now they're saying they're going to bring a woman in who's the lieutenant governor of Minnesota. So there's going to be more and more women coming into the Congress, into the Senate, into the House of Representatives. I believe they're going to have the higher majority of the new candidates in 2018, definitely on the Democratic side. So, you know, I think it might have actually been a ploy to get him to leave you know, show that we're going to be proactive.
Oh, no question. About it, especially with the
woman. Well, no, some of the Democrats actually came out and said the reason that we pushed Al Franken out is because
take the high ground.
Right. So we could take the high ground in case Roy Moore won because we wanted to be on the right side.
Oh, by the way, on that issue with Roy Moore, what a screw up to put that idiot. They could have easily won that seat. Easily. And then Steve Bannon has to come through with this, you know, he's got to be. That was the dumbest thing. And by the way, like I said in the last week's show, the bar's pretty high in terms of getting banned from a mall. Like, he was banned. How do you even do that? I don't even know how you do that.
I don't know.
Banned from a mall, and he's running for Senate.
Right. I said on the air a couple of weeks ago, even if he didn't do it, there were a dozen other reasons that he was unfit for office.
Exactly. And then the other thing is, like, believe me, when I was 35 years old, I really wasn't signing 15-year-old girls' yearbooks. Like, they didn't, I mean, how does that even happen? You know? Yeah. Anyway, so.
It goes right back to this is all a political issue.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And I think. Are you concerned as a lawyer, and maybe, you know, just from a, you know, looking at the lay of the land, that do you agree with me? And if you don't, that's more than fine. That this will be a tool that will be used.
I'm going to cut you off because I don't want to get Micah in trouble.
Okay, very good.
Let's get it right. Mike is not a lawyer; she's an advocate.
I'm sorry, my fault. My bad. Right. An advocate. My fault. But do you see this becoming one of the tools in the tool belt, like? If that'll be brought up, and then this, that the whole any kind of cloud, okay, will be enough to kind of basically disqualify someone.
I'm going to give you an honest answer to that. It's going to keep me in business for a whole lot of reasons, not just those trying to make the claim, whether it be true or false, but those who are trying to defend the claim, whether it be true or false.
Mm-hmm.
So it really has a double-edged sword. Because you can bring the allegation and they may be false. And just like I said, I think any male who is falsely accused should stand up and say, I'm countersuing or I'm going after you for this gender discrimination against me.
Huh?
I think it's going to end up being a tit for tat. But also, this all started over a year ago. It's been a year of these allegations coming out. And I can't say that that has increased the amount of sexual harassment calls that we're receiving.
Huh.
So now you're seeing a disconnect between what's actually going on in the workplace and what the media is portraying.
Yes.
Well, surprise, surprise.
Right.
And you know who said this? Ed Koch said this about the media during the AIDS crisis of the 90s. He's like, problem with the media, it latches onto a subject, beats it to death and moves on to the next one. I think they're doing this to sexual harassment, don't you? I mean, because it's a hot topic, it gets good ratings, and that's the end of it.
They really are. And something else that's been bothering me about is, for obvious reasons, people are focusing on women being sexually harassed. However, Kevin Spacey was not harassing females. There have been a number of accusations where men were harassed, not women. Yeah. It's not a male female issue.
A lot of times it's power, isn't it?
Yeah. Generally, harassment is something about power. It's holding power over someone else. But I was actually told a few days ago, oh, well, you have no idea because you're a man. Mm. Like, really? I have no idea. When I was in corporate, I was actually discriminated against by female bosses.
Huh.
It's happened.
It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not male, female. It's who has the power.
Right. And if you look at it, I'm wondering where the genesis of it, because, you know, you're not born that way. So I'm wondering how that, in terms of being a harasser, you know, you see it in sports, you know, that a lot of the empowerment of athletes and they can get away with things and they're empowered.
I think you just nailed it. You know? You can get away with it. Your whole life since you've been in high school.
Right,
you've been college.
You've been empowered. You
people cover from you, and
no
maybe
consequences.
Women feel scared about doing it, about reporting.
Look at the list of the 50 individuals; they were all people of some form of power.
Uh huh.
They felt they can get away with it.
So where do we start in the learning curve? Because this is certainly an emotional issue, and as an educator, we're very focused in on emotional learning. Where do you see that coming into play to we start to turn the corner so that when people do get into a series where they can have a powerful position, that they're not moving in that direction and that they're using their power in a positive way? You know, where do we start to shift the behavioral pattern, the thinking pattern?
Well, I think that we have to stop and realize that a lot of these allegations are from years and years ago. So we're looking at, well, we're not talking about a here and now. Most of these allegations aren't even in the last couple of years.
Well, they, you know, I agree. So your point really is saying that the workplace has improved exponentially.
Absolutely.
But again, and then I'm going to drop this point. But when you have 20-year-old allegations, there's no way to prove it. It's just an empty allegation. You can't do anything about it. So you can destroy someone. That's the way to do it. You don't say it happened last week. Say, get someone, you know, who's a little older and say, Bob Johnson harassed me back in 1994.
Well, if you want to destroy somebody's credibility and you have no other way to do it, what better way than the media?
Exactly. 860-685-7700, 685-7700. Lopkin, certainly an interesting topic. And what is your view in terms of the weaponization of sexual harassment? Do you see it coming?
I think it's already here. I think people are already looking at that. There were dozens and dozens of reasons why Moore should not have been a senator. But I can't help thinking that the timing of the accusations had to do with the fact that he was running for office. He's run for judge numerous times. They never came up. Most of them were 30, 40 years old. So, I mean, there was plenty of time to bring them up. I think the timing is, yes, let's stop this person. This is how we're going to do it.
Well, we do have a caller, so let's put the caller on the line. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So what say you've been listening to the show?
Yes. And I want to comment on your program. I'm somewhat disturbed by the atmosphere that we're in today. It's simply an atmosphere of somewhat of a mob mentality where we're simply suspended any due process rights for these people, any presumption of innocence for them.
I couldn't agree with you more. That was my point. You articulated and much better than I have.
And any right to confront your accuser. It's almost like the new legal standard is simply that if someone is believable, let's drive them out, let's lynch them, and let's get rid of them. It's a behavior crisis in this country, and it's attacking a judicial system where you could destroy lives based on a allegation without proof or evidence.
Well done. That was my point. You did it much better than I do. Mika, what do you think of that?
I am in total agreement with him. I see it every day.
And I think the legal system is a little bit to blame for this because I can call you probably would agree with this, that they entertain these claims or give it more validity, don't they?
Absolutely. And if you expect some type of behavior change to result from this atmosphere that we're in today, you're deceiving yourself.
Well, thanks for the call. We got to move on to another. Thank you. Very good. What do you say about that?
Actually, Jeff, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. It's not the legal system because most of these cases haven't gone to court. It's all being tried in the media. It's all hype. None of these cases have actually seen a courtroom. So it's really not the legal system that's doing it.
These cases would never make it to the courtroom.
Right. You know, there's a certain burden of proof in a courtroom that you don't have in the media. So what you're seeing is all of the hype, all of the accusations, but you're not actually seeing the investigation that should certainly go forward and would have to if it was going to actually hit a courtroom.
Anybody well, we actually have another caller, so we'll put the caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes, you need to turn down your radio and then join the discussion.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Well, while we're waiting.
Oh, no, here is. Okay, I think he's on. Go ahead.
Hi, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, good. You've had an opportunity to listen to the show. What say you?
Yeah, I'm listening here. I would just have to slightly disagree with the last caller. It hasn't gone to court yet. In regards to the sexual allegation charges, of course, as a woman, I'm not a woman, but I would assume that I won't feel comfortable coming out and just saying 20 years or not that someone touched me in the wrong way. So when someone does do that, it gives me the confidence to come out and say so. In regards to the workplace relationships, I don't think it's going to change because me working with women, I feel totally comfortable still having a great relationship and not offending or touching or doing anything in the wrong manner. With all the cases you guys are talking about, it's not just one allegation. There's several allegations against our president and all the other people that's been going on.
Okay, good point. Let's see what... Mika, what do you say about that?
And this is what it brings me back to before, where I said I'm not seeing this happening in the workplace. I'm seeing this as a media hype, but I'm not seeing changes in the workplace between the dynamics of a male and a female.
Interesting. We have just a few moments left. 860-685-7700, 685-7700. I think your point is very interesting, that you're looking at it from really on the ground floor, what's really going on, and you see it's more about the hype than about what's actually going on now.
You have to understand that anybody can bring a sexual harassment complaint, and they could file that with any of the commissions, CHRO, EEOC, and say, I'm being sexually harassed. Those are allegations only. And they're allegations that are investigated by an administrative agency within the state. At some point in time, that case is either dismissed with no merit or sent forward to a public hearing or federal court. When you get to public hearing in federal court, you got to have proof.
Well, we did drop a caller. I invite him or her to call back at 860-685-7700, 860-685-7700. The topic is sexual harassment.
And I don't know whether you guys realize that, but there's a new database out now called Rotten Apples. And it's a searchable database that's been introduced that informs users which films or television shows are connected to those accused of sexual harassment or worse. So they can kick in a show, and it'll start to show the names of people that have been accused, and that might then influence the people who want to watch the show, go to the movie, you know, spend their dollars.
Actually, I think that's extremely scary, Marty, because now you can basically, if that's true, you put someone on a website, the Rotten Tomatoes,
right,
Dr. Lopkin. Yeah, who knows if it's true or not. I guess we dropped the call. Caller, are you there?
Hi,
yes.
I'm here.
So what say you real quick? We're up against it.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you folks for providing one of the most intelligent conversations.
That's what we do at The Buzz, baby. That's what we do. Go ahead.
It's been very refreshing to hear people get into the real thorny issues surrounding this problem. And I've been frankly frightened by the way it's all come across as sort of a post-evidentiary world where you just make allegations.
Like the previous caller, that's the thing that scares me. It's a Salem witch hunt. You know, Jack did this, Fred did this 20 years later, 30 years later, and the thing sticks, doesn't it? And reputations are destroyed.
I think we all need to say that there is very real sexual...
Absolutely, no doubt.
But we don't... The very fact that I have to issue that disclaimer in order to make this comment means that we're in a realm of somewhat unhinged processes. We've got to bring it back to earth and base the man evidence.
And what do you think of Marty's point about now there's a database? How dangerous is that? I can just put your name in this database and you can't unring the bell. What if you were looking for a job and they do the background check and you're in Rotten Tomatoes? That ain't going to go well.
Rotten apples.
Whatever. Yes.
I think we've made our bed with putting up with all sorts of scare tactics over the last 15 years. Post September 11th, and so we've been conditioned very well for this.
Well, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it.
I want to address his comment, because I too am very scared that the current day dissent, as well as the acceptance of what's going on, I'm not worried about the media. I'm not worried about what's going on in the world. What I'm really worried about is that women are now under this scrutiny to maybe not come forward with their sexual harassment claims.
Because of the circus.
Yeah. So because
the
they might be questioned, or now it's something that...
Frivolous or ridiculous.
Exactly.
Because as a guy, and I'm a pretty... pretty even-handed
women.
Guy. It's almost like Lopkin's point. The whole credibility is going out the window.
Right. I mean, if you're a male right now and you're facing sexual harassment, are you going to even speak out right now in the midst of all this about these women making these claims?
No way.
Or if you're gay or homosexual, and you're being harassed. I mean, these are really serious concerns that have me very worried.
I would agree. Well, yes. Marty, let's do one news item and then buzzwords. And by the way, Mika, this has been, we got off, to a little slow start with the tech problems. Dr. Lopkin, I thank you. Great. We have to have her on again, don't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely.
Well, the thing is, actually,
did you enjoy your stay on the show?
I enjoy it greatly, because I hope that we can get the message out there for those who are being harmed, whether it be sexual harassment, race, sex, gender, that they know that there's somewhere to turn, somebody to listen to them, somebody to understand them, and not to let all these other outside interferences get in the way of them standing up for themselves.
Well done. Yes, Marty.
Well, I think if we blow it up macro, we could go look at opposition parties across the world that are also now being discredited. Let's just take Venezuela for a moment. There were 11 jailed opposition activists when President Maduro of Venezuela took office. Now there's 676. So, I mean, if you want to take harassment and then blow it up to like political activism, that also is now being...
Actually, that's a good point, because that's where this whole thing could be tied to. You could start... Yeah, it's really... It's almost like I think this whole... We're not just sexual harassment with everything. It's the thought police. We've taken the human element out of everything and become robotic, haven't we, Dr. Locke?
We really have. And I mean, what happened in Venezuela, unfortunately, happens all over the world. Take a look at Russia.
Yep.
How many of Putin's enemies have ended up in jail or vanished?
Dead, disappeared.
So let's do a couple of, let's do three buzzwords.
Okay. How about net neutrality?
What do you think about that? You're the expert, Locke.
Net neutrality is great in theory, but the hype over pulling it is overblown. Odds are nobody's going to see any changes for years, and net neutrality also kept any incentive they had from improving their service.
Okay.
So there's pros and cons to it.
All right. How about a second one? CHIP, that child health insurance program.
CHIP is a great program. It's actually got bipartisan support. They just need to get around to actually funding it.
And I'll give you one more here. How about this whole idea of tribal politics? You know, we've drawn such a strong line. It used to be a thin line. Now it's a bold line. What about this idea of tribal politics as we move forward? There's no reconciliation. There's no conciliation. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. People don't work together anymore.
Yep.
Under the Bush administration, under the Clinton administration, under the Reagan administration, you had a president of one party, a Congress of the other, and they all worked together.
Yep.
That seems to be gone now.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you one more news item, and we're going to go on a positive because I'm looking forward to a nice weekend. Jack Morris finally got elected to the Hall of Fame, one of the greatest pitchers of the 80s from the Detroit Tigers,